Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very senior personal branding guru from Montreal, Canada, Marina Bizanova. Marina, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Marina is the co-founder of Brand of a Leader, which is the personal branding agency. She's an entrepreneur, a global speaker, and a university instructor. And she's a member of EO, which is Entrepreneurs Organization. So Marina, let's start by talking about your mission, which is to inspire entrepreneurs to speak up, stand out, and be radically authentic through the power of building their personal brands. Help me understand your mission with some examples.
With pleasure. So Ashutosh, I was born in the Soviet Union and I grew up in post-Soviet Ukraine, which of course formed a lot of my core values. You know, when we grew up, standing out was not much of an option. We were one gray mass. You had to fit in with everybody else, right? That was the premise of, you know, being on the path towards communism. I mean, it was socialism. And so I had this deep feeling in me that there is power in standing out. And I tried to as a child and was constantly being suppressed. One of my core values became to have the opportunity to stand out. Speaking up, of course, was equally not an option, right? I grew up in the land of censorship, the ultimate land of censorship. In addition to being the Soviet Union, my father was Jewish. So often whispers around me, often, you know, people disappearing from the neighborhood and nobody would talk about them. So again, the anti-censorship feeling and that desire to speak up also became part of my core values. And then, of course, everything happens when we express ourselves freely, when we stand out to be who we are, we become radically authentic.
Right.
And so what's interesting is that when I came to Canada at the age of 16, so my family immigrated, it was the first time I was ever on a plane. We came to Canada, I was 16 years old, and I kid you not, I was thinking, I am in the ultimate land of freedom, anti-censorship. I can be who I am. I can speak my truths. I can be myself.
Wonderful.
What's interesting is that, yes, it was true, but I realized that even though in Canada, in the US, in the free world, we have these rights, a lot of people don't exercise them. I realized how many people are afraid of standing out because they don't want to be criticized, are afraid of speaking out because they don't want to be misconstrued or say the wrong thing, and are afraid of being radically authentic in all of the facets of their lives. And so it became my mission to change that and to inspire people to become who they really are and exercise those most important, in my opinion, rights and freedoms that we have.
How amazing. So for a lot of our viewers and listeners, let me start by asking you, what is personal branding?
So a personal brand is really who we are expressed in a uniquely differentiated way, right? So it's not just who we are. Some people say, oh, everybody has a personal brand. I disagree. Everybody has a reputation. Brand is, you know, it includes some marketing magic and some marketing speak. So it's who you are, but expressed in a uniquely positioned and a differentiated way to create very clear and consistent associations in people's minds. And then what that gives us is it gives us equity and the one constant that we have in our lives, which is ourselves and our name.
Well said. And can you give me an example of someone you may have worked with without any names, of course, and how you helped them to transition and build their personal brand?
Of course. Oh, I have so many examples to give you. I know which one I will share. Because what's interesting is when we're looking to build somebody's personal brand, or rather uncover someone's personal brand, we go through a process of discovery to really understand that person and see, well, what is it about them that's standout, their standout feature quality that we can then amplify through the power of personal branding. A lot of people think that personal branding is about thought leadership. Well, not quite, because not all of us are thought leaders. For some people, it's their unique personality. For some, it's their inspiring why. For other people, it might be their core values. So we try to identify what it is. So I'll give you an example of a client of ours who is a successful entrepreneur in Indonesia. he came to us, and he was at a pivotal point. He has a very large manufacturing business. Mm-hmm. He has created a very strong executive team there, put a CEO in place, and decided to transition to become a coach. Mm-hmm. And it's a trajectory we see happen quite frequently, right, with senior entrepreneurs that want to then give back and teach what they know. So he became certified in this well-known methodology called Scaling Up with an EO Entrepreneurs Organization that's quite well-known.
Yeah.
So he became a Scaling Up coach. He came to us and said, can you brand me to differentiate me from other Scaling Up coaches and essentially show that I'm the best Scaling Up coach of all? Mm-hmm. And we said, No, we can't do that because we never brand you around what you do. There's no portability there. Mm-hmm. We brand you around who you are, and especially with entrepreneurs. You know, today we're this, 6 months later, there's another shiny object we change. Mm-hmm. And a brand has to give us portability. So through the process of deep discovery and the deep dives that we do with our clients, we uncovered a couple of fascinating things about him. Number one, his deep and unwavering passion around all things that are 4 P's, people, planet, profit, purpose. Mm-hmm. Everything, you know, when he talks about his little daughter, it's all about how he wants to make sure that the planet is still there and we have trees and forests in the sky when she grows up. When he talks about business, just always talks about that. And his huge interest in emerging technology and big technology, and how, you know, there will be avatars that will be doing the coaching for him and they will be replicas of him and all those different things. And so we took all that. We said, you know what, this is at the essence and core of who he is. We took all that and we translated and expressed it through a concept of circularity. Mm-hmm. We created the concept of circularity to give a nod to circular economy, to give a nod to Singularity University, which is big tech, marrying the two. So all of a sudden, he's not a Scaling Up coach. Mm-hmm. He is a circularity entrepreneur, which is something that will stay with him no matter what he does.
Incredible, incredible. So, you know, Marina, there's a general myth amongst a lot of people that let my work speak for itself. Why should I speak about it? I'd love to get your perspective. Is why is it so important to invest in one's personal brand?
Well, so that's what gives us true equity and portability. So first of all, I think that a personal brand should not be tied to talking about what we do, although it is one of the important pillars, content pillars, as we call it in marketing speak, but really topics that we discuss. But it's just one of them, right? A personal brand needs to really express who we are in a marketable way so that we build community, we build eyeballs, and we're recognized. Depending on the audience, what it gives to entrepreneurs, again, it gives portability. Because one thing we know very well, Ashutosh and you are an entrepreneur as well, is there's no constancy in our entrepreneurial journeys, right? It's up and down, we crash, we burn, there's no business, we pivot, or we exit very successfully, but then what? Very often entrepreneurs become depressed and feel that when they exited, when they made a ton of money, but then they exited their soul. So when we build a personal brand, we build equity that gives us that, you know, constancy, that permanency, if you will, because what stays with us forever is us, our name, and the network that we build. It gives us a bit of a sense of purpose as well when we really understand what we stand for, we express it through the brand. For professionals, for employed professionals, we're very similarly, right? We get fired, we pivot, we change jobs. Sometimes we're not recognized for the work that we're doing, right? So branding ourselves gives us, again, that equity and the ability to stand out for whatever our goals are among so many other people who are doing the same thing or something very similarly.
Mm. What a great response. Thank you. So the other question that is often asked is, at what stage of my career should I start thinking of personal branding? Some people say when you reach a certain level, some people say start now. Your thoughts?
I'm going to contradict myself here because my gut response is to say, well, the sooner the better, right? Because the sooner, it's a journey of introspection. When should we engage in introspection? The more mature we are, the better positioned we are to go deeper in introspection, right? The younger we are, it's still a lot of value. It's just going to be a little bit more surface level. I would say the sooner the better, because as with anything, when should you invest? the sooner the better, right? Whenever you build equity, the sooner you do it, the better. At Brand of a Leader, which is my personal branding agency, we work with Gen X entrepreneurs. Really for us, again, because there's a little bit more depth, there's a little bit more depth to the story. And also because we really love working with entrepreneurs who are building their personal brands, not because of some transactional gains, but because they want the platform, they want to inspire, they want to make an impact, they want to give back exactly as you are doing, right? So I would say the sooner the better. There's not, you know, no such thing as too early to build any type of equity. But of course, with time, our stories become richer and our introspection becomes deeper as well.
Very interesting. And is a behavioral change a requirement for personal branding?
No, I don't believe so. There are some paradigms that need to shift. And I think it's more about that. And that's the hardest part of working with some of our clients, because what personal branding requires is self-awareness and acceptance that somebody externally might not see what you are seeing or might see what you're not seeing. And that is sometimes where there becomes the difficulty. It also takes a paradigm shift of accepting that, again, personal branding is not what we do. It's who we are. For a lot of people, it's very hard to accept that. Accepting that, no, it is not about thought leadership, because, you know, as my sister, who is a scholar and published scholar academic, said, let's not cheapen the idea of thought leadership. Let's not say that now everybody is a thought leader because social media exists. So does it require behavioral changes? Perhaps if depending on the platforms you choose to promote your brand, perhaps yes. But as far as discovering your personal brand, it's more so a question of changing some of the, you know, dispelling some of the myths.
Well said. And you just talked about platform. A logical next question to you, Marina, is how does social media play a role in building one's personal brand?
It's a great question, Ashutosh, because it's also one of the myths that I commonly hear when we talk about personal branding. I'm seeing that people equate personal branding to social media. Social media is merely a platform. Well, personal branding is merely a tool, right? We're talking about something bigger. We know of so many people who have built very strong personal brands who are not even on social media or barely. You look at somebody like Seth Godin, a brilliant marketer, right? And he's a marketer. What's his social media? It's an RSS feed where he shares links to his books, articles, and he has a phenomenal newsletter as well. He's a published author. He's a speaker. Again, he has a fantastic newsletter. That's how he built his personal brand. So a lot of people will shy away from personal brand building because they're not fans of social media. And what I say to them is, that could be okay. It's not always okay, because if your audience is, you know, large in scope, and if you are looking for scale and you're not going to be writing best-selling books like Seth Godin, well, yeah, social media gives us a lot more eyeballs. Absolutely, of course. But I want to make it very clear to people that it's not a must. And when we talk about platforms of promote our personal brand, we're saying platforms, but platform can be a book, platform can be a speaker series, platform can be a personal website with a blog, so many different platform can be a brilliant, successful podcast such as yours. Those are all platforms.
Fascinating, fascinating. And yet for those people who haven't written books and who are not that well known, there are so many different platforms to choose from. I mean, you know, from a LinkedIn to a Twitter to a Facebook to an Instagram to YouTube and so many more. How does one decide which platform or which platforms to select and work with them?
So I would say that the first, the number one criterion is, which platform do you enjoy? Or which platform do you dislike the least? Because, you know, when it comes to personal branding, it's effort. It's not, we're always comfortable. Sometimes we expose ourselves to criticism. If we're also forcing ourselves to do all that on a platform that we really just don't enjoy and it doesn't jive with us, there won't be longevity, right? So instead of looking at what's most popular right now, as we do for corporate social media and with reason, right? For personal branding, it's personal. So I would say number one, where are you comfortable? If you love taking beautiful pictures and you really express yourself through photography, well, then of course, Instagram. Mm. If you can create video that's compelling and, you know, stands out to people, and again, you enjoy it, well, TikTok and Instagram Reels, right? If you like the written word, well, clearly LinkedIn. So number one, you look at the platform that you enjoy or don't dislike too much. Number one. Number two, well, of course, where your audience is. Because if you're looking to speak to baby boomers, well, maybe TikTok would not be the first stop, right? Or if you're looking to speak to preteens and teens, well, it won't be LinkedIn. So number two, where your audience is. And then if we're looking at the platforms, let's say it's agnostic for whatever reason, and then you're looking at platform where you're going to get the quickest ROI, absolutely LinkedIn. You can rise to the top of people's feeds with consistent posting, unlike the other platform, although TikTok is close to it. But for professionals, for entrepreneurs, well, undoubtedly LinkedIn is where the eyeballs are right now.
Wonderful. And the other thing that, you know, I've spoken to many people on personal branding, and I've often wondered, if I am working for an organization and if I start to build my personal brand, will that conflict with the brand of my company?
It often does. And we cannot disregard that fact. You know, I hear a lot of professionals will say, well, if it clashes, then your values do not align with the organization. And, you know, you should just leave. But it's easier said than done. Not everybody can just get up and leave every time their values do not align. They're not founders of the company. And it could be that values do align, the style doesn't align. Maybe it's an organization that's very private and you're trying to build a, you know, a public persona. It's not always easy. What I recommend to people, where you can typically bypass that, and we've worked with a lot of individuals who are in executive roles and they're employed, for example, by financial institutions, where there is a lot of regulation and you cannot just talk about anything within that area of expertise and just, you know, put things out. You're just not allowed. And that's okay. And you have to be accepting of that. So what I would recommend again is when you are building a personal brand around who you are, versus what you do, there might be limitation depending on the organization that employs you and how senior you are in that role on how much you can talk about what you do. There might be a limitation there. Typically, you can still express who you are in a way that does not clash with an organization. If ever there is a clash that is really, you know, profound and deep, perhaps there is a clash of values. That is not something to disregard, but it is something that happens quite frequently. There's a lot of value in talking to, you know, the person that you report to, talking to the HR team. Sometimes they contact the legal team to see what, you know, their regulations are internally. But it's it of course is more complex when we're not entrepreneurs and we can do as we see fit.
Wonderful. My next question to you, Marina, is that you know, you mentioned that you go through a process of discovery when you are taking on a new client. For many people who will listen to our conversation, what would be the steps you would follow to be able to select a client and then start working on their profile to build their brand?
So first of all, I will have to candidly share that we do not take everyone on as a client, which makes for a very uncomfortable situation because, again, this is personal branding. This is not the corporate branding saying, oh, we're not the right partner for you because, you know, CPG is our focus. It's saying we're not right for each other. So number one, we have a discovery call with a prospective client. And what we're looking for, because, again, we have a niche at Brand of a Leader. Again, we're working with Gen X entrepreneurs, and we're looking for people whose goal is to inspire and make an impact, who want to build a platform because they want to make the world a better place. So if we have a conversation with somebody who's looking to build their personal brand, and they're just not inspiring yet, or for whatever reason, it's not the right fit for us. So that's step number one. We decide whether or not we're the right fit for each other. And then we have a series of three deep dives where we talk about everything. And Ashutosh, I've had people many times say this is like a therapy session. I've cried. I shared more than I ever thought I would share. There are things that come up where people say, I've never shared this. What's going on? Because we talk about everyone's lifeline, the ups and downs of their life. You know, what may create UU.
Yeah.
We talk about core values, why. We talk about how you want to be perceived. Mm. We talk about everything, your target audience, what is your vision for your brand? What are some of the things that you think you're going to be achieving with it and you want to be discussing? So it's three deep dives, at the end of which we make a recommendation of, we think that this should be your angle, this should be your positioning, this will be your audience, those will be your brand descriptors of how you will be perceived. This is what your voice should be like, that will be radically authentic to you, but really deeply expressed. What will be your core content pillars, meaning what topics will you be associated with? And only then, what platforms are you going to do it all on? You see, very often with people, we start with platforms, right? I'm going to be on LinkedIn. I decided, okay, what should I be talking about? Okay, I'm going to talk about entrepreneurship. Okay, but so who's going to be reading this? And it should be the other way around, right? We'll start with that deep dives first. Mm-hmm. And then we work with many clients on co-creating content. So we do not ghostwrite at 100%. It's personal branding. It's a process of co-creation. Mm-hmm. But we build visual identities. We build personal websites. And we create written content as well.
Amazing, amazing. And how long is this whole process for?
So the process of discovery, where we make those recommendations of what your positioning should be and all those details, is 6 to 8 weeks, depending on how quickly you go through the process. But 6 to 8 weeks, we have the clarity, and then we execute. And once we start co-creating content, I would say within 3 to 6 months is when you really start seeing traction. You run into people when you go to a wedding and they say, oh, I've been seeing you around. I've been reading your stuff, and random people reemerge in your life. And then you start getting new people that reach out as well. I would say by the 6 month mark.
Amazing. Amazing. So Marina, I have time for one more question. And this is for all the people who will listen to our conversation and your amazing advice on so many different things. What would you say are three lessons you would like a lot of our viewers and listeners to take away from your and my conversation today?
So I will circle back to the beginning of the conversation. My three lessons are: stand out, speak up, and be radically authentic. Mm-hmm. I think that it is absolutely incredible how much we shy away from doing that. Mm-hmm. I work with entrepreneurs. I'm also an entrepreneurs organization. We talk a lot, we share a lot behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. And I constantly hear these concerns, if I stand, I don't want to stand out. I want my business to stand out. Mm-hmm. Well, what happens when there's no more business, for good reason or bad? Mm-hmm. I don't want to speak up. What if I'm misconstrued? But what else do we have if not our voices, right? And how can we make a difference in the world if we don't have a voice to use? Yes, I'm comfortable being myself. And, people don't say I'm comfortable being radically authentic, but essentially I'm comfortable being really myself, but in safe places. Well, what if it's not safe places? Then we're faking it. We're not ourselves. So those are my three biggest lessons. I learned them as a child. I've carried them throughout my whole life. Stand out, speak up, and be radically authentic.
Amazing, amazing. Stand out, speak up, and be radically authentic. On that note, Marina, thank you so much for speaking to me. Thank you for talking to me about your incredible journey from, I don't know if it was still called the USSR then, maybe it still was. And I've been to that country many, many times when it was USSR. Thank you for speaking to me about your amazing transition into such a powerful personal brand yourself. And thank you for talking to me about all the work you're doing to help and assist so many different individuals, the Gen X people, in building their personal brand. Thank you for speaking to me, and good luck to you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been thrilling.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast. Platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.